Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. We're just blessed to be on air tonight. This is Bible Questions and Answers, which is ran every Tuesday and Thursday from 7:30 to 8:30. Let us begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we approach your throne of grace in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to preach your word, Lord.
Amen.
Just stand firm in your truth and just declare your message to a dying and perishing generation, Father. We pray that your message not fall, Lord, on deaf ears, but men may come crying, what must I do to be saved, Father? Bless us and bless all. In Jesus' name do we pray. Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So we're just blessed to be on tonight. We're just thankful for all the callers who called on. And if you have a question, we want you to know, call in with your Bible question and we'll give you a Bible answer. And, of course,
Amen.
You always hear me say that we won't waste your time by giving you what we think or our opinion about how things should be or are supposed to be, but instead we'll go directly to the Word of God and give you book, chapter, and verse. So, therefore, we believe that truth has nothing to hide. You know, now, if truth has nothing to hide, my question is, why are there so many fabrications that exist in the world today? Why are there so many variations upon what people believe to be true? And I believe the reason why is because that very reason is because everyone has his or her own opinion. However, I'm
Amen.
Here to tell us tonight that when it comes to Word of God, there is no opinion. Opinion does not matter. The only thing that matters is what thus says the Lord. So therefore, if you have a Bible question, by the answer, call
Amen.
In with your Bible question. We'll give you a Bible answer. We have our esteemed panel of ministers this evening. We have Brother L.C. Parker Jr. of the Darren Luke Church of Christ, Brother Williams, Brother Jay Johnson. We'll keep Brother Johnson in the prayer. Is he doing better?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Keep
wonderful. So yes, sir. Absolutely. So we're just blessed to have our esteemed panel on this evening. Also, our panelists include Brother Robbins of the Church of Jesus Christ, Brother P. Stewart of the West End Church of Christ. We hear you, brother.
Hello.
So we'll go ahead and see if we have any questions. We have Brother Brian Brown, our administrator, this evening. We'll pass it on and see if we got any questions right now.
No, sir, not yet.
Okay, and if you have a question, just call in to 347-850-8256. 347-850-8256. Press
Amen.
Number one, and Brother Brown will put you on through. Right now, we'll turn it over to Brother L.C. Parker Jr.
Yes,
right.
It's a blessing to be here. We need to keep on preaching a good sound doctrine that we've been teaching. We were
Amen.
Commanded by the Word of God. If you turn to Titus chapter 2, verse 1, the Bible says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we have to have in the church of Christ. And if we do that and preach that provocatively, more people will obey the gospel. Because then churches, so-called churches, that make them feel good all the time. It's a good day club on Sunday. All of the singing carrying on, and a lot of that is sneaking into the Church of Christ. A boom, bang, and bang. You know, if we know that the musical instruments, the sounds will begin with the human voice. The human voices, and that's why we brought all the band of people in there boom banging in the back of the church and on the front row of the church and got microphones everywhere and carrying on. Stop it! God is going to get you if you don't. He will stop you. He said, but speak those things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given so much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. And there's something going on today, even before they get married now. They don't want to get married. The young ladies, when they become teenagers, start dressing and acting outrageous now. No control over them. Even the young boys are taking advantage of that. Now, you got to understand one thing. A woman, if she carries herself in a holistic way, as a woman that wants to be approached and dealt with, she can draw men to her. She has power to draw men to her. And that needs to stop. The old woman, set an example. Raise your daughters right. Men, raise your sons right. To be discreet, chaste. Keep her at home. Good, obedient to their own husband, that the word of God be not blasphemed. When you're married, do that. Love your children, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Amen. We've got to straighten up. Young men likewise, exhort to be sober-minded. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptedness, gravity, sincerity. We got a lot to do. We're falling away from God as a nation.
Yes.
And we need to know that. And we need to, as members of the body of Christ, we've got to be more in the footsteps of Jesus. Right now, because we got to be an example, and the ministers got to preach the doctrine and obey God, because this country is on the way down. I just hope that Mr. Trump, the president, I hope that he will work something out to make Congress deny the law that a woman can marry a woman and a man can marry a man. We need to have that law kicked out of our country. It needs to be condemned, because that's going to lead this country straight to destruction and hell. And when it's spread like that, we become the new Sodom and Gomorrah. If there are any questions on the line or people want to say something about it, or if you're embracing it, please call in, because we want to know why you embrace the fact that a man can marry a man and a woman can marry a woman. Or they go shacking together. Plenty of it's happening right now. Men shacking with men. Women shacking with women. Like they've gone crazy. And in some states, women can marry women right now. Men can marry men right now. Hooray! This great country that I believed in from a child, the teenager now, that I've become an older man, is being a destructive thing. I saw the wonderful days of this country after World War II, how this country grew and was one nation under God, indivisible with liberty and justice for all. We got our justice as black folk during my age, young age, and we got a chance to enjoy and see this nation grow. But now, as an older person, I'm looking at the destruction of America. We're on the way to hell as Americans. We're being destroyed. Our country will not stand as a great nation much longer if we do not repent. Please help this president that's in there now reverse that law that Congress made against God. Told God he kept a lie. And when you go to Genesis, you'll see that God created the rib from the man, created the woman for the man. And he told him to be fruitful, multiply the earth, replenish it, and subdue it. How can two men multiply the earth? How can two women multiply the earth? We better get it right. We're throwing away the total destruction as a nation. The enemy is laughing at America. They'll say, it won't be too long before they fall. Those fools over there, they have done what we've done in time, but now they're going to fall. They're going to walk. We're going to, you know, Trump is trying to get to Gatesville. If we keep homosexuality and marriage of men and women going on in America, those gates ain't going to be worth nothing. They're going to fall down, and the enemy going to walk right in and take this country over. But are there any questions on the, or any comments on that? And it's your
line.
Sir,
go ahead.
Okay. Well, we're going to call at this moment for Brother Williams to come on, please. And when you come on, Brother Williams, let us pray. I forgot. Let us pray for Brother John. So he's doing a lot better in the hospital. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Listen, I want to just say to all of my brethren, my fellow ministers of Christ, just keep Brother Johnson in your prayers. I know that the saints have been praying for him. He has been progressing ever since he got under the doctor's care. What we are praying is that God will, by his will, through the knowledge that he has given the doctors, nurse him and nourish him back to health. But we count on the main doctor. We're not counting on the man doctor. We count on the main doctor, and that's Jesus Christ, who the doctor who has never lost a patient. And we are that he will continue to bless his health, that he might continue to get better. The doctor can only do so much, but Jesus Christ, God, who is our Savior, he can go all the way. And so I want to just thank all of you who are in the situation, Brother Parker, Brother Brown, Brother Parker the Fourth, and others, that as you pray in your private prayers, that we keep him in mind. Brother Johnson is praying for us, told his wife to inform me today that he wants the brethren to know that he is concerned and he's praying for the continuation and the growth of this radio broadcast ministry. And he recognizes that him being absent doesn't stop a thing. We just keep it going. So appreciate that, Brother Parker. Appreciate your comments and concern. I got some commentary to carry on with regard to this gospel of grace that we are ministering to the people of the world and to the church. You see, one thing we got to remember in the Church of Christ is that once we have obeyed the gospel of grace through faith in baptism into Jesus Christ, we have not finished we have begun our spiritual life and our spiritual walk and our walk in eternal life. God gives us eternal life through our obedience to his gospel in faith and in truth. And when we do that, we have the access to eternal life right in our very hands. But what we must remember is that if we do not exercise, if we do not continue in faith, see, Jesus says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. It's a lot of folks that believe, get baptized, and then they stop believing. Those people are not going to be saved. Once saved is not always saved. What we always must do is continue in faith and exercise obedience to God in everything. We got a question on the call, on the line? All right.
Yes.
Bob,
you got some last question or comment?
We're looking for questions and comments. Okay. All right. Thanks. All right.
Hello? Is there anyone with any comments? Press button number one. I didn't hear you say.
But Red, go ahead, Brother Parker. No, I think somebody, I don't know who that was, interference. Go ahead, Brother Williams.
Okay. Well, as we were saying, it's very important that as Christians, as saved persons, as citizens of the spiritual kingdom of God, which, by the way, the kingdom of God is with men. It's the tabernacle of God. It's the church of God. It's the church of the living God. It's the church of Christ. It's already here. The kingdom is the kingdom of God, dear son. It's the kingdom of Christ. And we must be children of God. That is, we must be children of Christ, who is spirit. Christ is God. God is spirit. And if we don't have the spirit of Christ, we don't belong to him. Spiritually, we are not his. So we must remember these things, and we must continue in faith. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And so tonight we are asking, we are hoping that there are some who are on this call. This is the night for Bible question and answers. That's why we're on this call. If you are, if you've dialed in at 347-850-8256, then you are on this call with us. And if you have a question, feel free at any time to interrupt whatever we are saying by pushing the number one on your phone. And Brother Brown will cut in and let us hear your question. We're here to answer questions. And I know there are a lot of questions, Brother Parker, Brother Brown, that people in religion have today. Maybe there are some folks on the line tonight who are afraid or a little timid about asking their questions. But I know that one question that everybody ought to be concerned about, based on what you were teaching and saying in the beginning. We got all kind of religious doctrines and faith, yet we all have one Bible to go by. And I'm just, I know that somebody ought to want to know, why is it that all of the pastors, so-called, reverends, so-called, preachers and ministers, so-called, are supposedly teaching out of the same Bible, yet we have over 600 named religious doctrines and denominational churches in the world? Why is that? And the fact is, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about that question briefly, because the truth of the matter is, Jesus Christ is the only builder of a spiritual church for the salvation of men.
Amen.
In all of the whole Old Testament and New Testament, you will not read of any person other than Jesus Christ himself who ever promised to build a church.
Amen.
There's no other builder identified in Scripture but Jesus Christ. What church did Jesus Christ build? Well, the very simple, wise, and common sense answer is he built his church. Jesus didn't build a church for me. He didn't build a church for Brother Parker. He didn't build a church for Apostle Paul. He didn't build no church for Peter. And he didn't authorize Peter, Paul, you or me to go and build a church for ourselves. The only thing we are authorized to do is to go and preach the gospel of salvation. And he has built the church. When we preach the gospel of salvation, men will hear the gospel, believe, repent, and be baptized into Christ, and consequently, they will become added to the family of the saved, the family of God, the church of Christ. Acts chapter 2, verse number 41. All of those who believed and received the word of truth, the gospel message that Peter taught, they were baptized. And there were 3,000 individuals whose souls were added to the saved body, church of Christ. And in verse 47 of Acts chapter 2, the Bible declares that those who were being saved day by day were being added to the Lord's church, and they were being added to the Lord's church by the Lord himself. Jesus is the begetter of our soul. His seed is the word of truth. He is the truth. John 14 and verse number 6. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the eternal life. Jesus declared that before he ever went back to heaven. He declared that to his disciples before he ever was crucified on the cross, because he knew who he was. He is God. He is the incarnate God. That is God who came in the presence and the revelation of flesh, so that we might have a chance to see the love of God and the power of his love through the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. There is only one Savior, Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 5. There's only one Lord. There's only one Father. There's only one God. There's only one body, Ephesians chapter 4 and 4. There's only one baptism that saves. There's only one hope of eternal life all believers share, that all believers trust in. And with all of that unity of the Spirit, when we look at the one body, we recognize, according to Scripture, that one body is the one church that Christ built.
Yes.
For people who are not familiar with the Scripture, we talk about and we take you to the Word of God. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 24, the Holy Spirit had Paul to write to the church of Christ in Colossae and say these words.
Man.
I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church. See, when the Bible and the gospel was delivered and established the church of Christ among men, Acts chapter 2, there was no need or no question about what church did Christ build. But today, ladies and gentlemen, we are faced with a religious division that is based upon the doctrine of devils, the false teaching of false preachers, false reverends, false pastors, false apostles, false ministers. Satan has ministers and many more than Christ. That's why there are many more churches than the church of Christ. Because Satan has enlightened men, or actually he has darkened their knowledge and understanding with his false doctrine, with his doctrine, and he has caused men to learn and to perpetuate his damnation and establish all these churches. Many folks in the world today, especially in the United States, it isn't a month or a year that go by and you don't hear about somebody talking about starting another church. They want to start it on a different basis. One guy say, well, I don't believe in traditional religion. I want to start a church where people can pretty well do what they please. They don't have to dress up. They don't have to wear suits. They ain't got to do all this stuff that they do in all these other churches. We're going to have a unique church. Where is this inspiration coming from? He's only being inspired by the hypocrisy that he is seeing in religion. He's talking about, I want something that's not a part of all this religious division. But he's not seeking inspiration from the Word of God. He's seeking inspiration from the philosophies of men, and he's developing his own philosophy. You see, the Bible says that man does not have the ability to direct himself in spiritual truth. He don't have it. He can't find his way. He don't have the knowledge. He don't have the truth to know. We must follow the truth, which is the Word of God. And we have the Word of God written. But I'll tell you something. The reason there are so many false doctrines and false churches and false religion and false teachers is because there are many who are not following the written Word. In Revelation chapter 20 and verse 15, after the context tells us how that one day the judge of the earth will open up the book of life, and everybody's life will be judged by what is contained and written in the Lamb's book of life. And who is not found written in the Lamb's book of life will be cast into eternal hell with the devil and the false prophet and the liar and the abominable and the disobedient and all of who are opposed to the Word of God. That name, that person, or those who are not named will be cast. Where can we find the name of the Catholic Church?
Amen.
Where can we find the name of the Baptist Church?
Yes.
In the Bible. I'm talking about in the Bible, not in the history book. Where do we find the name of Methodist Church or the Mormon Church or the Holiness Church or the Church of God in Christ? Where do we find the name of those churches? Where is the Church of Christ being denoted by those names and callings?
Amen.
There is nowhere in the Scripture that we can even read about the name of many. Where is the Potter's House Church named in the New Testament Scripture? Where is the Church Without Walls named as such in the New Testament Church, in New Testament Scripture? Huh? Where is the Lakewood Church named in the New Testament Scriptures? These are names that men have developed because they suit and they fit the philosophies that men are teaching in these names.
Amen.
The doctrine of Christ is taught in the name of Christ. And the name of Christ describes the church that Christ built. He is the owner. He built it. He bought it. He died for it. He married it. He loves it. Huh? He is the savior of it.
Man.
Whose name should it wear? How should it be identified? See, if we start with that, we can clean up and we can cure a lot of misconception about where salvation is, who is the Savior, and what his salvation and what his will is concerning our eternal life and salvation. We don't have to listen to what men say. See, in the New Testament, there are no preachers, no elders or deacons or any teachers referred to as reverend. There's no title. Even the apostles were not called reverend. They didn't call each other reverend, and nobody in the church called them reverend. Peter was a pastor in the New Testament church. The pastor is an office in the government of the local assembly of the churches of Christ in every nation. See, the Church of Christ is not one single location, but it is all over the world. And in every location, the church is to be organized with pastors or bishops or elders to oversee, to feed, and to rule in the Lord's church in the local assembly. But men have taken these titles. The title reverend belongs only to God. Psalm chapter 111 and verse 9. He has sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever, and holy and reverend is his name. God's name is the only name that should be honored, reverend, because reverend means awe and deep respect for the awesome God who has made us and who has saved us. No man has saved you. No man died for you. Who died for you? Christ died for every man. Your reverend didn't die for you. He didn't establish a way of grace and salvation for you. Your reverend needs the same salvation that you need. He is no greater in value as a soul to be saved than you are. And he is a false teacher if he teaches you that he is your reverend.
Yeah.
He's a false teacher if he teaches you that he is your pastor and he is unqualified. We got so many pastors that it's a shame. We got pastors who are unmarried. That's not in the Bible.
Amen.
We have pastors who are not married to a wife. That's not in the Bible. We got women who are called pastors in religion, and they are not qualified. They can't be married to a wife. And same-sex marriage is not a New Testament or Old Testament will of God. God invented and God designed and God is the author of marriage. He defined it. Men cannot redefine what God has already defined for marriage. So same-sex marriage approved of God. So there ain't no such thing as a woman claiming to be a pastor and is not married to a wife. There's no way she can qualify. The pastor is a male factor. His wife, he must be married to one. He got to be the husband of a wife. Okay? That's God's will. But you got all kind of stuff going on in religion, and now you got the society cover talker. They trying to give a more legitimacy to the foolishness. But in the body of Christ, in the church of Christ, as Christians, as saved children of God, we must never accept or endorse this worldly and devilish foolishness. We must never approve or give hearty consent to it. Brethren, as ministers and teachers, we must continue to teach against it. One time, there was some broadcast or some news report a while back, several weeks ago, where this lady was condemning homosexuality. Now, she was teaching a religious service. We got, do we have a question? We have a question.
But, Brown, if anyone that's online has a question, we don't have one.
I thought I heard an interruption.
Okay, no.
All right. As I was saying, this lady was being maligned on the news broadcast because it was reported that she spoke out against homosexuality and lesbianism and declared it abomination. That's what God said. Now, she is being criticized for it, and I understand that they're not going to let her fight this thing no more, and they're not going to let her continue her whatever thing she was doing, whatever council session or whatever she was going on with and everything. Now, first of all, God never authorized women to go and to publicly evangelize and teach his word to audiences of men and women. God never authorized that. He authorized men. And he told the Apostle Paul, his spirit said that we are to commit the sound doctrine of the word of God to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And I know some people say, but wait a minute. Can't women know stuff? Women not stupid. Women understand the word of God. They can teach. Yes, they can. They can teach what God authorized them, the persons that God authorized them to teach. They can teach their children. They can teach other women. But they are not authorized by God to have a public broadcast teaching men and women. That's not God's. That's what women want to do. And there are denominational and false preachers who are supporting them in that. But it's not the word and the will of God. The woman is to be silent and under subjection in the public worship and assembly of the church. If she has to ask or wants to know anything, she is to inquire outside of the public assembly. She can ask her husband, who is spiritual. She can ask the minister who is spiritual, but she is not to be the minister or the husband or the pastor.
Yes.
She is not to be the deacon in office. These are men who qualify along with their families. See, a deacon, one of the qualifications of a deacon is he got to have a wife. A woman can't have a wife. God didn't design no marriage like that. So we got a lot of problems in religion today because men have taken it upon themselves to develop their own philosophy. And listen, this our philosophy of a one-man pastor of a local church, that's not just our denominational counterparts who are professing and preaching and claiming that. We have men in the Church of Christ who are talking about they are pastor. They're not even qualified. They're not the husband of one wife for life. They're on their second and third wife. The wife they have is a novice, not even grounded in the truth. And she calls him pastor, okay? Because she is taught that by him and others because that comes out of denominational faith. It is not the will and the word of God. True pastors are ordained of God, and they meet the qualifications that God has laid out in 1 Peter chapter 5 and in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and in Titus chapter 1. They're laid out. They must be the husband and wife. The wife must be wise. She must be wise and temperate just like her husband. She can't be a novice, nor can he be a novice. They can't be a newcomer to the faith.
God
never authorized that, but you got men and women in the Church of Christ that are leading so-called churches, but I say it is their churches, not Christ's church. He the pastor, she the first lady, and they talk about we Church of Christ. They are lying on the truth.
Yes.
So you got to be careful, ladies and gentlemen, that not only do we denounce spiritual division, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10 through 15, Paul condemned religious division and division among ourselves in the body of Christ.
Amen.
And he asked the question, is Christ divided? Is Christ divided into 600 different brands of religious faith? No, sir.
Yeah.
No, ma'am. The answer is categorically no. God does not agree. He went on to say, Father, let's think about it. Who did Christ die for? Did Paul, did I die for you? Did Peter die for you? Did Apollos die for you? Or did Christ die for you? And the overwhelming answer, the exclamation is on Christ. Christ died for all. Nobody else died for you. So you don't wear anybody else's name. You are not a child of Baptist. John the Baptist and no other person that called himself a Baptist. It's awfully funny, Brother Parker, Brother Brown, Brother Parker before. The only Baptist we read about in the Bible was John, and he was not a religious Baptist. He was a baptizer. He never was. He never did build a Baptist church. He denied being a church builder. He said, I am a friend of the bridegroom. He said, you need to follow the one that comes after me. Don't follow me. But you got people want to call themselves Baptist, and they want to look at the Bible talking about, well, John the Baptist was a Baptist. A Baptist what? He was a baptizer. Is that your job, your occupation? In other words, my occupation is I'm a civil design engineer. So I'm an engineer. Is that a church? No.
Yeah.
Did I establish a religious movement based on my occupation in life? No. That's silly. But everybody wanna justify a religious name and a religious doctrine based on a man's occupation in life. And John the Baptist was dead before the first gospel sermon was ever preached. John the Baptist became a member of the Church of Christ in death. when Jesus went into the grave and he took his blood to release faithful John and all of the faithful of the Old Testament who were obedient to God in their lifetime, to release them from the prison of sin and eternal condemnation. And now they are part of the New Testament church, the New Testament kingdom of Christ, because his blood saves them just like it saves you and I today.
Amen.
We gotta teach the truth, and we have to rightly divide it. That's what people do not have. That's why you got a different church here and a different church there. And they got all kind of names, all naming the church after all kind of mountains. Mount Moriah, Mount Hinebo, Mount Horeb, St. Christopher, St. Luke, St. John, St. this, St. Philip, St. Peter, St. this. Those are not the names to be calling the family of God. Peter didn't die for you. John didn't die for you. Was no mountain sacrifice for you. Jesus Christ, he is the Savior. He is God, our Savior. He is the living God who is the Savior of all men, according to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 and 11. We are the church of the living God, according to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. And Christ is God. He is God who was manifest or revealed in flesh. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 16. And thus, who is the owner of the church? He bought it. He purchased it with his own blood. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. And he commands the elders who are pastors and bishops. He says, feed the flock. Feed. Who feeds a flock? A pastor. Over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. The Holy Ghost makes elders. The Holy Ghost is God. The Holy Ghost ordains elders. The Holy Ghost made you overseers. A bishop is an overseer to feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. He said to take heed to yourselves and over the flock. That is, you are to rule over. That's the elders' function. The elders of the Ephesian church were instructed to do so. In every church, the Spirit, by the Apostle Paul, instructed the minister to appoint elders in every city. That was a body or a church or assembly of the Church of Christ in every city. Paul established many of them, and he asked and he commanded Timothy and Titus, when he left Timothy in Ephesus and Titus in Crete, to appoint elders in the church, men who qualify as elders in the church, not one elder, one pastor, one bishop over an assembly, but a plurality, two or more. But we got men, we got false teachers in that claim to be in the Church of Christ, Brother Parker, Brother Parker the Fourth, Brother Brown, they're not spiritually in the Church of Christ. They are walking in sinful darkness.
Yeah.
They're not in Christ. When we sin, we step outside of the body of Christ.
Yeah.
Every sin that a man doeth is without, that is, outside of the body of Christ. There is no sin in Christ. But you got brothers walking in sin and claiming to be in Christ and even calling themselves ministers and prophets and teachers of the Church of Christ, and they are spiritual lies. They are lying against the truth. What is truth? John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. God's word is the truth. You lying against God's word. And we got them in denominational churches and in the Church of Christ too. So we need to be aware of the fact that it's time out for the foolishness. That's why many folk are confused and asking the question, well, what church is right? And you know what the false people say? All of us are all right. All these churches belong to Christ. Christ is divided up in all these churches. Let me tell you something. The church of the living God is the body of Christ. The body of Christ has many members, but they are all members of the body of Christ. How do you become a member of the body of Christ? In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13, you must be baptized into the body of Christ. That's what it says. For we have been baptized into the body of Christ. And in verse 27, as a result of being baptized into Christ, the body of Christ, he says, now you, all of those of you who have been baptized, all of the saved souls, you are the body of Christ and
Amen.
Individual members of it. I have never
Amen.
Heard of the Baptist church ever being baptized into Christ. I've never heard of the Catholic church ever being baptized into Christ. I've never heard of the Lutheran or the Presbyterian or the Mormon or the Seventh-day Adventist or the Jehovah's Witness or any other church, the Lakewood Church or the Church Without Walls or the Potter's House Church or any other
Amen.
Church. I have never heard of any of these churches being
yes.
baptized into the body of Christ.
Amen.
I didn't know that you could baptize a false church into Christ. They are not members of Christ. They are not members of the body of Christ. Therefore, they are not the body
Amen.
Of Christ, nor can they be. You can't baptize the Baptist church into the Church of Christ. That's silly. That's stupid.
Amen.
That's foolish.
Amen.
I'm saying it myself. That's why
Amen.
I don't believe it. And you shouldn't either, ladies and gentlemen. No one should be believing those lies. But people are not studying the Bible for truth.
Amen.
False prophets are not studying the Bible for truth. They don't ever intend to. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning at verse number 13, the word of God delivered by the Holy Spirit to the church of Christ in the first century reads as follows: for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself transformed himself into an angel of light. Therefore,
Amen.
It is no great thing. It just follows. It ain't no great thing that his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their evil works. What does transform mean? We have to read it in the context. When we open up the dictionary, transform means to change. These
yeah.
apostles, these false prophets and false teachers and false apostles are not changed into ministers of Christ. That
yeah.
this doesn't mean changed into. Satan hasn't changed himself into Jesus Christ. He hasn't changed himself into an angel of light. No. What it simply means is they have disguised themselves with their
yeah.
deceitfulness. See, they are disguising themselves. They are like the proverbial wolf with a sheep clothing, with a sheep disguise. They're wearing a sheep head mask. They're wearing a sheep wool covering, and they are disguising themselves to look like the real thing, and they are not. They are false. That's why the Bible says they are false.
Amen.
If you don't know the truth, you will be deceived, and many billions are being deceived and are deceived right now by the false teachers. There's not even a such thing in the Bible as the office of Pope or Cardinal. There's not even, but those are the highest office in the most prolific false religion in the world, a religion that boasts 1.2 billion converts today. It
yeah.
has more converts than all of the other churches, quote unquote, combined.
Amen.
Isn't that something? And there is no such thing as a pope in Scripture
yeah.
or a cardinal. And what they call bishop is not the bishop that is referred to in 1 Peter chapter 5 and Titus chapter 1 or in 1 Timothy chapter 2. They're not that
Amen.
Bishop. They don't even have a wife, Brother Parker.
Yes.
These men are not even, they have a vow of,
a vow of affection?
No, they have a vow. They're not going to be married to no woman. The Pope ain't married. He don't have a wife. And then he lies because he's buying profit. He say the church is his wife. The church is Christ's wife. The Catholic church is Pope's wife, but the church of Christ is Christ's wife. Romans chapter 7, verse 4, Paul writing to the church of Christ by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit tells the church that you have become dead to the law of sin and death. That's the Old Testament law and all of its ordinances. And you have become married to another. Who? Who are we married to, Paul? To him who was raised from the dead. And everybody knows who that is. Hope know who that is. The church is married to Christ. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23 through 25, we read again that the husband is the head of the wife, even as also Christ is the head of the church and the Savior of the body. He is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the church. He says, he goes on to say in that same scripture, therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be their own husband, and
everybody's
own husband is Christ, and she is subject to Christ. He says, husband, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her that he might sanctify her and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. We are sanctified, that is, we are saved from sin, saved for the purpose of God, and with the washing of the word. That is water baptism for remission of sin. That's why Peter commanded it in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38 when they asked him, men and brethren, what are we going to do about this dilemma? Peter declared the answer, and it's still true today. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name, by the authority and the power of Jesus Christ for the removal of your sins. And you will receive the Holy Ghost. You will be able to have the Holy Ghost or the holy presence of God living in your life and comforting, protecting, leading, guiding, and directing you in the Spirit. Your spirit man needs a God. It needs a companion. The God of this world won't do. The God of this world can't save me or you. We need the God of heaven and earth, and that is Jesus Christ, the Savior. He is God, the truth, the Word. He said, I'm the truth. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 1, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God was the Word in the beginning. In the beginning, the Word was God, and Christ is the Word. How you know that, Brother Preacher? Because when you read all the way down through there, and it talks about how he is our Creator, and he is our Savior, it says in verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. What glory? The glory of the only begotten of the Father, in the flesh.
Yes.
Jesus Christ is the only man born in the flesh who has no earthly father. He didn't come from the seed of man. He is from the seed of God, which is spirit. He is the spiritual son of God. He was born in the flesh for the purpose of dying for the sins of all men who are born in the flesh and who sin. And every one of us have sinned. There is none righteous. No, not one. Look, all men have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So he died for every man. But you know what?
Amen.
It's incumbent upon every man to obey God's will and commandment if he expects to be saved for eternal life. And many have not obeyed the truth. They believed they were obeyed the truth. They've been taught they were baptized. And they were saved, but they were not baptized according to the word of God. They were not baptized with the baptism of salvation because they didn't believe the truth. You can't be baptized right when you have believed lie and false and wrong. You can't be saved believing a lie. If you believe a lie, you're going to be condemned by that lie. And if you die believing that lie, you're going to be cast in the hell with all the liars who told you that lie. That's what the Bible says.
Amen.
We got to search the scriptures and study the word and understand the truth and allow the Spirit of God to reveal to our hearts what is actually the word and will of God. God's not going to lie to you. God's going to say the truth.
Amen.
And teach you this time. If you haven't believed the truth before now, it's because you've never been taught the truth and you've never obeyed the truth. And you are not saved today because you have not followed truth. Jesus says in John chapter 8 and verse 32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Only truth can free you from eternal damnation. Eternal damnation is hell. Let me tell you something. Hell is not like going to jail. You're not going to ever get out.
People
can go to jail and get out, but you can't go to hell and get out. There's not going to be a second chance for you to get out of hell. That's a lie and a lying philosophy that's being taught to billions around the world. There's some folks believe that they can pay and pay their loved ones out of hell. You can't do that.
Amen.
That's a lying doctrine. That's a doctrine of purgatory that is being taught to billions of people around the world. It is a total lie. There's no scripture that tells you that nowhere in the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, there's no scripture that teaches you that. There's no book in the Bible that teaches that. There's none of the apostles ever taught that. And they started and ministered and established the Church of Christ on earth, the kingdom of God on earth, in the first century of Anno Domini. In 33 A.D., the church was established. The apostles and prophets teach all the way up to 98 A.D. when the last apostle and prophet, the apostle John, died in the city of Ephesus.
Amen. Amen.
He was the last apostle. And there was no more revelation after John. John received the revelation in 93 A.D. while he was an exile on the Greek island of Patmos. And after receiving the revelation, he was allowed to come back to the mainland in 94 A.D., and he was a part of the tribulation that occurred in among the churches of Christ in the New Testament in the first century era. They were persecuted for being Christian. They were accused and lied. Even Nero lied on them, said they burned Rome.
Amen.
Okay? It's the Christian's fault. Everything was a Christian fault. They were fed to lions. They were killed. They were put in jail. Women were made widows by their husbands being murdered and taken and killed. Families were being destroyed because of the gospel of Christ that they stood for. People had to run out of cities and hide in caves and all kind of stuff. Let me tell you something. The word of God, which they tried with the devil by the government and the Jewish church, tried to destroy the Church of Christ, and they thought by persecuting it and physically persecuting the church, they would destroy it, and in essence, they spread it and made it stronger. The Church of Christ is all world, and that is the will of God today. I plead with you, if you have not obeyed the gospel of Christ and have not been baptized into the Church of Christ and are not now following the doctrine of Christ,
amen,
I plead with you to visit, to attend a worship service where the Church of Christ meets in assembly in your community. Find out where it is and meet with them. Listen to the word of God and respond when the invitation for salvation is extended by the gospel preacher. be baptized into Christ for remission of your sins. Receive that name that is above every name that is named in heaven and in earth and even under the earth. In hell, there ain't no bigger name. Huh? So you want to be, you want to give honor to that name. You want to recognize Christ as your spiritual husband. If Christ is my spiritual husband, I should be wearing Christ's name. I shouldn't be wearing John's name and Mary's name. I shouldn't be wearing Boniface's name. I shouldn't be wearing Russell's name. I shouldn't be wearing none of those names that men have who claim to have started churches in the name of Christ. That's I don't wear Peter's name. I don't wear Paul's name. I don't wear Joseph's name. I wear Christ's name.
Amen.
I am a Christian, a spiritual member of the household of Christ. Ladies and gentlemen,
amen.
We plead with you, it's time to obey Christ. Are there any who are listening and have a question? I'm going to turn it back over to you, Brother Parker Jr., to close us out and to finish this up. But if anyone has a question tonight, we ask you to come on. We'd be glad to answer your question. If you have a Bible question, we will give you a Bible answer. But we ask you to do this. Give us a Bible question. We're not here to talk about politics. We're only here to talk about truth and righteousness.
Amen.
God bless you. Brother Parker, if no more questions on hand, I turn it over to you and to close us out and to finish up this discussion tonight.
Amen. We just want you to know that the Bible, and it could be an acronym, we keep saying that, basic instruction before leaving earth. And when you read the Bible, you read it from Genesis, the beginning, how God created the earth and everything on earth and in earth. He did that. And he instructed us on how to behave ourselves under the law. And then he sent his son to die on the cross to set the example. Then let the men destroy and try to kill him, but he rose the third day and went back to heaven. He had walked and made the footsteps of salvation unto us. And we must do that in order to get out of here and get off of earth and go to heaven everlastingly in heaven, walk in the streets of gold. But if we don't, we'll die and burn in hell the rest of our lives. Now, which one do you want? Heaven or hell? And the only way to get to heaven is to be in the one church that's written in the Bible, the church of Christ. And not only that, you have to walk and do right in the church. You just can't obey the gospel and think you're going to do everything you want to do and then go to heaven. No. Once you obey the gospel, you must live right. And we tell our preachers now, now that you become a preacher, don't go in there with no foolishness up in the pulpit. And if you are, set your rump somewhere down on a stump. Get yourself out that pulpit. You hear me? And that, see, and obey the word of God. We need to know, preach a very, very strong leadership in the church. Right. That's why Paul told us 2 Timothy 4. Preach the word. Preach it instant in season. What are you talking about, Paul? Preach it when folk like it. And he said, preach it out of season when folk don't like it. Right. And in America, folk basically do not want to hear the gospel of Christ. So much hell is going on in America right now. The word of God is being refused. And they're firing preachers and everything else that they want to do. But don't worry about it, preachers. Those of us will continue to preach the doctrine of Christ. Don't forget one thing. We have the Holy Ghost on our side. And with the Holy Ghost on our side, churches get cleaned up. God gets to move in that church, and folks are dying and leaving and everything else. And that church become clean. And the folk there appreciate it, and more will come and obey the gospel. Folks are looking for the real gospel. So I don't think they got it out there with some of them worldly preachers. And they don't ever want to let them hear the gospel. They'll preach against the Church of Christ and anybody else. You know, as long as they got their people doing what they want them to do. Look at some of these television programs. Well, you know, look at them and just see what these men are doing. Look at Teddy Dix and others that are doing the same thing. They're holding their people with their word and making them become a part of what they believe and what they do. Now, listen, we've heard the gospel tonight, but we have got a very wonderful teaching that we need. Let's listen. Let's obey them. If there are any questions on the line, press button number one and come on in and say what you have to say. Ask any question that you have to want to ask. We ask you to do that. If not, we hope that this will get into your mind, the doctrine of the real Bible. Get into your mind. Change your ways and do as Brother William said. Find the Church of Christ in your area. Go there and obey the gospel before it's too late for your soul. Because if you're not in Christ and living right, you're going to die and go to hell.
Amen.
We commend you to God and to the words of his grace, which are able to keep you, build you up, give you an inheritance among those that are sanctified. We want to end with a prayer. May God bless you. Father God, we come humbly bowed before thy throne of grace.
Thank you,
kind Father, for another day that you have granted unto us. Not that we've been so good, but your grace and your mercy through your Son Jesus has made this day possible. Father, thank you so very much. Help us to keep walking in the footsteps of Jesus, all members of the body of Christ. If they aren't, let them repent and keep walking, because it's going to be a wonderful end to our lives when we walk in the footsteps of Jesus. Then we'll be able to go to heaven and walk on the golden streets of heaven. But if not, we're going to miss the mark, and we're going to go to hell. Bless us,
true,
Father, that we'll fit with the book. Live like God told us to live. And, Father, we thank you for Brother Johnson. We hope, trust, and pray next week he'll be on with us. He's doing better in the hospital. Keep blessing him, Father, he and his wife. And bless him, Father, that they'll be back with us. We thank you for Brother William, Brother Parker, the fourth, and everybody else that may call in or talk with us, Father. Be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen.
Amen, and God bless you, and good night, brethren.
All right, good night, Brother Parker, Jr., Brother Parker, the fourth, Brother Brown, Brother Robbins, and any other brethren who are part of this panel. God bless each and every one of us, and by his faith, let's purpose to come together again to share the gospel and the salvation of Christ to a dying and perishing world of sin.
Yes.
God bless you, and God bless us all. And good night.
Good night.